Well, hello everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Good to be back with you, and we're glad you're with us. Today we continue in our study through the book of 1 John, and we're excited to bring the study to you, and we hope you're joining us each Friday as we move through the pages of this revealing letter from the Apostle John. And to get us underway today, here, of course, is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So John is writing to us to give us some assurance. And last week we looked at a good portion of chapter 2. We're going to finish chapter 2 today, I say.
Hopefully.
Yes. But last week we kind of looked how John sketched out growth as a believer in Christ, how it begins with a place of rest and the fact that we're forgiven, that we have a new identity, that we belong to God the Father. And then we see from that place of rest, we're able to overcome the temptations of this world. We grow strong in the Word of God, and this Word of God allows us to just live out who we are. And then we find purpose. We find a purpose beyond just what we see, just being a part of reflecting the image of God out there into the world. So that is the sketch that John gives as far as our growth in Christ is concerned. And then he challenged the readers with this: do not love the world or the things in the world. You know, when we talk about the world, we're not talking about planet Earth. We're talking about the world system. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a world system that had its beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Satan deceived Eve, and then Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That world system came into being, and that became the prevailing system, and mankind was under it. And when we're saved, when our hearts turn from our spiritual death and receive Christ, we're rescued out of that world system when we're placed into the kingdom of God. So our hearts are now centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying it's almost the same type of warning that Paul gives in Galatians chapter 5, and I think in the book of Corinthians. He says, don't you know this world is passing away? So why would you want to be engaged in any of the activities of the world? And then he gives this. He says, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to do the will of God? Well, simply this, as John wrote in his gospel, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what is the will of God? What is the will of God the Father on our behalf? That we look to the Son and receive life in his name. That's the will of God the Father. And when we look to the Son, we receive life. We're in fellowship with both God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And at the last, we will be raised up, and we will be with him forever. So the will of God the Father on your behalf is simply to believe in Jesus, to receive Jesus, to receive his eternal life. That's God's will. Now, those who do that are going to live forever. That's good news.
Yeah, it is.
That is great hope. That is great assurance. So now this leads into this next section. And you can imagine, if God has a plan that will enable us to live forever through faith in Jesus Christ, there's somebody out there that wants to destroy that plan. Mm-hmm. There's somebody out there that wants to deceive us into thinking that life could be found outside of Jesus Christ, could be found elsewhere. And so John, in this next section, is giving some warnings about what we're going to encounter in this world, what the believers in his day were encountering, mm-hmm. and what we're going to encounter as well. So let me just read some of these passages, starting in verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2. Children, it is the last hour, And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Now, there's a lot of debate as to what that last hour means, and we're not going to waste a lot of time here looking at all the different viewpoints. All we're going to say is that we live in imminent times, that we need to look at life with a sense of urgency. And I think that's as much as we really need to say about that. Then in verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. And I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Now, no one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Now I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him.
Yeah.
So we see that the time is here, the final hour is here, and we know that the final hour is here because Antichrists are in the world. They are in the world. So there is this spirit that is out there that denies Jesus Christ. And we see this several places throughout this letter. We just read in verse 22, who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? We look over in chapter 4, verse 3, and we see this, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus is from God, every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And then you turn over to 2 John, verse 7, and you see the same. See the same thing, that everyone who denies that Jesus did not come in the flesh is not of God. So what characterizes the spirit of Antichrist? Denying that Jesus is the Christ. Denying both Jesus the Son and God the Father, and denying that Jesus came in the flesh. That constitutes the spirit of Antichrist. And anyone who is teaching those sort of things, they are Antichrist. That's just as plain and simple as it can be. Now, there were many Antichrists in the days following the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus warned them of that. Many false prophets are going to arise, and they did. Well, many false prophets are in the world today, and we have to understand that. And that's just the nature of our enemy. Jesus came, and he brought truth. Satan wants to deceive us and move us away from truth and get us hooked on his lies. That's the game plan. And how does he do that? By infusing this spirit of Antichrist into the world system. And many people standing up and voicing that, in that denial of Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God. So how do we combat that? How do we overcome that? And it gets down to truth. It gets down to what this gospel message is all about, and the fact that in Jesus is life, there is no life outside of him. That's basically what he's telling us here in this passage, and it is such a meaningful warning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you see both sides of the argument that, that John was facing. Because remember, we've talked about this being a kind of a prototypical form of what became Gnosticism. And in this particular passage, he's got people who say, oh, Jesus exists. We know that Jesus exists, but that means he's matter. That means he's human. Therefore, he couldn't be the Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, no. That just couldn't be true. And you go over to chapter 4, and you've got other people who say, oh, absolutely, he's God. But that means he couldn't have come in the flesh. Mm. And so they're working both sides against the middle.
Yeah.
And John, under the Holy Spirit's leading, catches both of those and says, watch out for both of them.
Yeah.
Because both of these are antichrist. If you believe these, you are lost. Come to the real Jesus, who is fully God and fully man.
Absolutely. Great thoughts, guys. And friends, we're glad you're here with us for week 7 of the study through 1 John. And, you know, in addition to the study, we have a growing number of resources to help you understand the New Covenant. And find you'll find them in our online store at basicgospel.net under the Resources tab. And to help us continue on the air and online and to continue to produce helpful resources, of course, we need your help. We depend upon God working through you, his people, to keep this good news of Jesus Christ available to help your spiritual understanding and growth. And so we encourage you to check out all of the resources that are available there. And when you do, please click that donate button and help Basic Gospel keep this good news coming. We'll be thankful for your partnership. Now back to our study in 1 John.
Well, thanks, Bob. So we have kind of the characteristics of the spirit of Antichrist and what people are saying who are Antichrist. Now, we saw in the first chapter that many people were within this group at Ephesus, and there were those who were a part of the true fellowship, the real fellowship. They had fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. And then there were others who were claiming to be a part of the fellowship, but who walk in darkness. And instead of loving their fellow brothers, they were hating their fellow brothers. And we're seeing another aspect of that. Now, these folks had the spirit of Antichrist. They were anti-Jesus because they were denying that he had come in the flesh. Now, John tells us that they're going to go out from among us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are all not of us. So in the light of truth, deception and lies cannot stand. And so they can't stand and fight, so they're going to have to move on. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to leave, and they're going to try to take their deception game elsewhere. So in light of truth, error flees. In light of light, darkness just is expelled.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing darkness can do when a light when a light is turned on. It just becomes light. There's no more darkness.
Yeah.
It's the same with lies. When truth enters in, the lies just flee. They can't stand. And so when somebody who is claiming to be in the fellowship, but who is really not in the fellowship, gets bombarded with truth day in and day out, week in and week out, they're not going to be able to stand if they want to continue in those lies. They can repent. They can turn away from those lies and receive the risen Jesus, or they're going to leave. And so when it says they go out from among us, it's because it's just being made clear that they were really not a part of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we use this a lot of times. I mean, we see people using this verse a lot of times, you know, talk about people leaving, you know, certain denominations or leaving. And we really have to be careful with that, don't we, Richard?
Yeah, we do, because there's the fundamental issue here is that the lie concerns a disbelief in Jesus. Well, if someone leaves a denomination or leaves a church for Jesus, and we blame them for being antichrist because they've left our church, we have done ourselves a grave disservice. There's no place in any of Christianity for that kind of judgmentalism. Discernment, yes. And if truly this is a light versus dark, lie versus truth kind of issue, it will expose itself for what it is.
Yes.
And then we can say, oh, I get it now. I think what John is saying here is really praise Jesus that they went out from us, because it exposed this Antichrist attitude for what it really
yes.
was, rather than, oh, well, they were just in a snit and left. Mm-hmm. There's none of that here. This is thank Jesus that we've been protected.
Yeah. So you have these Antichrist folks, that spirit, and that's just lies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all Satan has, is lies. And so he's trying to deceive people to believe the lie. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. So nothing has changed. There's no new game plan as far as Satan is concerned. So we have this contrast. We have lies or error, and then we have truth. And those who are part of the real fellowship, who have truly been saved, who have truly been made alive in Jesus Christ, what characterizes them, what characterizes us, is the fact that we have truth. And that's what he says, but you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Now, that's great news. And he says, I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. So what do we have as the foundation for everything about this life in Christ? We have the truth. We know the truth about God. We know the truth about Jesus. We know the truth about ourselves. We know the truth about the crucifixion. We know the truth about the resurrection. We know the truth about what we receive when we receive him, as far as forgiveness and righteousness and a new identity. We know the truth. And that is the foundation for this relationship that we have with Christ. So why do we believe the gospel? Why do we believe the story of Jesus? Well, there's lots of reasons to believe it. I mean, many will say, hey, I believe it because in it I received forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. Some will say, I believe it because through it I received eternal life. But the core of why we believe it is because it's true, because Jesus is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And we have that truth living in us. And it's not a truth that comes and goes, but it's a truth that abides in us forever. So we're going to read later in the book that we have this testimony, this truth inside of us, that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So truth is that foundation for us. And that's what we can take out there in the world, truth. And that truth will just make the lies flee.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of truth itself. So, folks, if you're a believer, you have the truth. You have the knowledge, the true knowledge of God. You have the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is your weapon against the deception, against the spirit of Antichrist that is out there in the world. And we're going to engage that day in and day out. Look at all of the issues that are being bantered about in our world today. From political issues, from social justice issues, you just name it. And in each one, it at the core is this conflict between truth and error, between life can be found in this world and no, life can only be found in Jesus. We see that conflict. We see that stark line of division between in these issues, and it's important for us to address these issues or to think through these issues based on what John is telling us in this very passage.
Yes.
Some of these issues are dressed up as, you know, we call it this and this, but it's really about Christ and the spirit of Antichrist, isn't it, Richard?
Absolutely. I mean, as we've been talking, this thought's been going through my head. Satan really has only one thing to say. God said, Jesus is my son, and I'm well pleased. And we know that anyone who has the son has life. That's the foundation of truth. All that Satan can say is,
Right.
No. That's the whole thing.
Yes.
Right there. And if we would look at these issues that we wrestle with from that standpoint and look deeply at it and say, is the answer being proposed? Does it denigrate Christ or does it elevate Christ? And you've got your answer.
Right.
If it denigrates Jesus, walk away.
Yes,
it's that easy.
Yeah.
So this is the core. I mean,
yes.
We really need to be equipped in what John is teaching us in this particular passage. And when we are, I think we'll have the discernment as far as what's going on out there in this world today. And, you know, this world is complex, it's nuanced, and Satan wants to make it look very complex and very nuanced. But here John is just really cutting to the core and saying, this is what's really going on, folks. It's like one of those mysteries, suspenseful mysteries. And you think, oh, my gosh, what is this conspiracy all about? And, you know, I just we can't wait. We're just anticipating finding out the story, what's really going on. And when we find out the story, it's about money or sex or something like that. It's like, really? It gets down to that?
Always.
And that's what Satan is saying, that life can be found in those things. And God is saying, no, life isn't found out there in the world. The world is passing away. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, the pride of life, those things are passing away. That's the world system. And that world system is built upon the lies of the enemy. It is built upon the lies of Satan. All of those things are lies. When you bite into it, it's empty. It's hollow. It's nothing. It will bring no meaning and purpose to your life. But Satan makes you think it will.
Mm-hmm.
But this world system is based on the lies of Satan. We have the truth concerning Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Do you understand now why we talk with such passion about fixing your eyes on Jesus?
Yes.
It's the only safety.
It is the only safety. And so he says, let this truth abide in you. Mm-hmm. It's there. It abides in you. Live in it.
Mm-hmm.
Live in that truth and allow that truth to give you discernment concerning the lies that are out there in the world, the spirit of Antichrist that is among us right now.
Right now.
Yes.
Everybody's looking for that one person, and maybe that one person is going to show up one day. But the spirit,
in the meantime,
that's going to be infused into that one person is already alive and well and among us. But we have great hope. We have great power. Why? Because we have the truth.
We have the truth, absolutely. And that is basic gospel, friends. And another insight-filled study with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, session 7 of our study through the book of First John. It's been great, guys. And friends, thank you for being with us today for this installment in First John. And we'll continue in the series next week at the same time. And I hope you'll be with us. If you miss any of the sessions, remember you can check them out again at basicgospel.net/teaching. That archive is always there, and we add each week's session as we go. basicgospel.net/teaching. In the meantime, over the weekend, if you have a question about anything that you've heard, call our 24-hour listener line. That's 844-322-2742. And leave a voicemail with your question. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. And friends, again, as we close today, please remember that this ministry is indeed listener-supported, and we need to ask your help to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ on the air and online. Please visit basicgospel.net and see all the ways that you can make your gift. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday after a great weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.